Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Talking Topics. And before I introduce my guests here, I would like to tell you that this show has been sponsored in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Mass Commission for the Blind. If you have any questions about these programs, please call us at 508-797-1117. That's 508-797-1117, or visit us on the website at www.audiojournal.org. Well, I do have some special guests, Harry Duchesne and Rachel Rosengard. How are you guys today?
We're good, Bill. How you doing?
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Well, it's good to have you in the studio. And question number one is, tell us where you're from, and you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I will go first. I currently live in Clinton, and I grew up in Haverhill, Massachusetts, which is close to the New Hampshire border.
Oh, wow. I always thought Haverhill was close to Boston.
No, it's a good hour away from Boston. It's right next to New Hampshire.
Oh, wow.
You want to know where I'm from, Bill?
Yeah.
Or do you remember?
Oh, yeah. I remember Harry's from New York.
No, you're close. The new part is close. But
New Jersey.
That's right. I grew up in New Jersey. What's my favorite baseball team?
The Mets.
That's right. The New York Mets.
Yeah, the New York Mets. Rachel, I hear you work at a library. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I work at Thayer Memorial Library, which is in Lancaster, which is only about 20 minutes north of Worcester. I'm a library director and the adult services librarian. So anything that is inside the library or happens at the library that pertains to people who are 18 and older is my responsibility.
Wow. What do you do with the adults there at the library? Do you have special programming like different movie days or something like that? Because at the Worcester Public Library, they sometimes have movies with audio description.
Yeah, we do lots of special programming. In fact, almost every day of every month, we have some kind of programming for adults at the library. So it could be a movie night. We have two bridge clubs, which is a card game. We have knitting club. We have a writer's group, Toastmasters. Then we have special programming like live musical performances, or we might have service animals come to visit the library. We have guest speakers on all kinds of topics.
Yeah.
So pretty much any day that you walk into the library, there's some kind of programming for adults.
Now what is Toastmaster?
Toastmasters is a group that works on public speaking skills and presentation skills, and they meet once a week. They have a particular format that they stick to, and they have a topic, I think, every week that multiple people in the group speak to or give presentations on. And it's sort of geared toward professional people who might have to speak in public for their work.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's a great group.
Yeah.
Bill,
yeah.
Can I ask my wife a question?
Sure.
You're married?
I am married. I'm married to you, as a matter of fact.
What a lucky lady.
Yes. And no, I'm the lucky one. I'm incredibly lucky to be married to you.
You're funny, Harry.
Well, and I'm very proud of Rachel, proud of my wife for all the work she does at the library. And there's something really cool on the second floor of the Thayer Memorial Library. I wanted to ask Rachel to tell our listeners, because it would be cool to invite a group of listeners to come to the Thayer Memorial Library. But I'll let Rachel tell you about it.
Absolutely. Thanks for giving me a chance to brag about the historical museum that we have at the library. Everything in our museum has been donated by the residents of Lancaster over the course of the past 150 years, more or less. We have purchased nothing. It's all donations. And it all pertains to the history of the town and its daughter towns. And it's a fantastic space and would love to have audio journal listeners come and visit anytime.
Yeah. Are you guys open on Saturdays?
We are open on Saturdays from 10 to 2.
Wow. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you some questions, Harry, because I know that you're the executive director of Audio Journal.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, you are.
I thought I was just producer for Talking Topics.
Oh, yes, you are. Yep. And you're my producer here. And
Harry wears many hats.
Yes. And Harry, I wanted to ask you about castaways and coconuts coming up.
Well,
at
Holy Cross?
Holy Cross, yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks, Bill. It's, we've got a couple PSAs in rotation during our programming, but I'd love the chance to talk about it again. So Castaways and Coconuts is a parody on Gilligan's Island. So my one of my staff, Julie, and a couple of our volunteers who will remain anonymous, they helped write this parody. And then after we chose the volunteer cast to be in the show, they helped edit and kind of rewrite parts of the script. So it's very exciting. And if folks, if any of our listeners don't remember the TV show Gilligan's Island, I think it was first broadcast in 1965. Yeah, and it only ran for a couple of seasons, but it was basically a story about people, you know, on a boat, and there was a big storm, and they were shipwrecked on an island. And they were there, and no one knew about them. And that was the whole premise of the show. The story plot line of the show was how they survived on the island and the comedy that ensued. The main character was Gilligan, who was the assistant to the boat skipper, the boat captain, his shenanigans. And there's very funny. And there was a millionaire couple on the ship. There was a movie star. There was a professor.
Marianne,
I forget what her role in life was, but she just seemed to be a very simple, everyday person. So the seven of them were on this island. And so we rewrote the story. And listeners, I don't want to give away the surprise, but Bill, are in the show.
Yes, I am.
So
I'm
you will, if you come to the show, you will hear Bill's voice in the show, during the show, as part of the sound effects in the background. But I think that's all I'll say. And if you want tickets, there was an anonymous donor who announced that he wanted his donation to go towards 20 free tickets for Audio Journal listeners and members of the Bay State Council of the Blind. So if you want to come to the show, please let us know. And if we don't give enough away free tickets, that money will be used for free Uber rides to come to the show for those who do want to come to the show.
That's wonderful.
I want to come, naturally.
Well, you're in the show.
Yeah.
You have to be there.
Yes. Yes, I have to.
That's right.
Don't forget.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I think we're going to take a break and be back right after this here on Audio Journal. You listen to Talking Topics with Bill and Rachel and Harry.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we are back here at Audio Journal Talking Topics with Rachel Rosengard and Harry Duchesne. I am your host, Bill Ruggiero, here. And, well, I want to ask you and Rachel about what your favorite restaurant is.
Ooh. Before we answer that, I just want to say how wonderful it is that someone donated 20 tickets to the Audio Journal event in April. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And I want to thank that person.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will be sure to pass on that word.
Yeah. Yes, please do.
So, favorite restaurants. I would say the restaurant that I'm eating in at the moment might be my favorite. Eating out is one of my favorite hobbies or activities. I've raised a big family and co-run a household with Harry. So I have done a lot of cooking over the past 25 or 30 mm-hmm. years. And mm-hmm. it's always a nice treat to go and eat out somewhere.
Yeah.
What are your favorites, Harry?
I was just trying to remember the one that you took me to up in Groton or Ayr. It's a farm.
Gibbet Hill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's one of those farm-to-table restaurants, right?
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah, beautiful space and delicious food and nice cocktails. I always love a nice cocktail.
That's right.
I have never had a cocktail before.
Oh, no.
No.
Well, wow. I don't know. We might have to get Bill a cocktail when the show's over.
Yeah. Bill, do you know what a mocktail is?
No, I do not.
A mocktail is like a fake cocktail. It does not have alcohol in it, but it has all the same taste that a regular cocktail has in it.
Yeah. It's a very fancy, very special drink.
Oh, wow.
Those are fun, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next time you're in a restaurant, you could ask them if they have any mocktails and they'll tell you what's in them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of my favorite places to eat is a place where I'm with Rachel, enjoying my meal, enjoying the food, enjoying her company. We're enjoying each other's company. And some of those places are places that aren't loud. They might be places with a nice view.
Mm-hmm. There's one place we've been that I really want to go back to, which is up in Wells, Maine, right on the harbor,
wow.
Hobbs Harborside.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we went there about 6 months ago. There was a huge thunderstorm when we were there, remember?
I do.
Yeah.
I love thunderstorms.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the ambiance has a lot to do with it, Bill.
Definitely.
The food, mm-hmm. the type of food. Both of us like Mediterranean-style food, Italian food.
I love Italian food.
Yeah.
Pasta, yeah. You know. Yeah.
If the listeners want any local tips, I think, what's the Lebanese restaurant that we like in Worcester, right on the Shrewsbury line? El Basha,
yes. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, their food's excellent. That's family-owned. It's nice to support small businesses. Yeah. What are your favorite restaurants, Bill?
I do have a favorite restaurant. When I go to Chicago, it's mm-hmm. called the 7D's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a good variety of things. And one of the things I like to get is a turkey burger. There's nothing like a turkey burger.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's more healthier than a beef burger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I like it. And so I go with my aunt, you know, every time I go in there and they ask me what I like. And, you know, and this is African guy who's there. He's one of the waiters. He always says, hey, you know, you could sit over there and stuff. And it's very family owned. They've been there for many, many years.
Nice.
Bill, last time I was in Chicago, I went to the, I think it's called the Harry Carey restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you been to that one?
Oh, yes, I have.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
And do you remember who Harry Carey was?
He was a famous baseball announcer.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Harry likes to go to any place that's called Harry's, and he'll get a T-shirt.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Like at Harry's Seafood on Route 9 in Westboro.
Oh, I've never been there.
Yeah. If you like fried seafood, that's the place to go. Yeah. There you go.
I like fried clams.
Yep.
And there's a Harry's restaurant in Providence that we had to stop in just so you could get the t-shirt.
Yeah. Harry's Burger Bar. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're ever in Providence, you want a restaurant to go to Harry's Burger Bar.
Harry's Burger Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
You know, another good restaurant, Bill, in Worcester, I think it's a little known secret, is La Scola. Did I have that name right?
La Scala
on Shrewsbury Street in Worcester. That's a really good Italian restaurant. It's small, but delicious.
Yeah.
And they, I wonder if they have raviolis there.
Oh,
I bet they do.
Yeah. Sure they do.
Okay, well, shifting, I know you like cats, Rachel.
I do.
Why don't you tell us about your cats?
Sure. We have two cats. We have Opal, who is, I think she is 15 years old. She's a gray cat. She's very, very affectionate. Harry is her primary person in the house. She'll follow him all over the house.
Everywhere.
Everywhere I go. On the counter, right?
Oh, we don't talk about that. She is a little bit naughty. She jumps up on the kitchen counter when she thinks no one is looking and she won't get caught.
And the dining room table.
And the dining room table.
Which I do not allow.
Correct. And then we also have Galaxy. She's 11 years old. She's a black cat and she has little white speckles, which is why we named her Galaxy, because she's all dark, but then you see these sort of little bright points on her, like seeing stars in the sky. I would say I'm her primary person, and she's not as affectionate as Opal, but she's also not as naughty as Opal.
Yeah, Opal's kind of mischievous.
She is.
Well, my aunt has two cats. Mm-hmm. Their names are Cleo and Caesar. Cleo loves to go on the counter because, you know, my aunt feeds her up on the counter.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, but whenever my aunt goes in the kitchen, Cleo's right there and wants to eat. Mm-hmm.
Lots of cats go up on the counters and on the tables and things. I think they like to be up high because they can get a better sense of their territory from up high.
Now, do you have one of those cat trees?
We do have a cat tree that has never been touched by feline paws. It has been completely rejected by the cats. They are not interested.
Well, my aunt's got one where the cats can go inside of it and then come out and then go on top of it. Mm-hmm. Cleo loves it. You know what cats like to do is they like to climb up on the ironing board, look out the window, and then jump on the tree.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cute.
They do like to look out the window. In our house, there are, and this is my theory, there's more comfortable places for the cats to hang out in order to look out the window. Mm-hmm. Where the cat tree is, they can look out the window, but
that's
they
right have other window.
Yeah, but they have other places I think that are more comfy.
Yeah. We have a screened-in porch in front of our house and they love being out there when the weather is not too cold. And it's windows on three sides of it. So they love being out there as long as it's somewhat warm.
Yeah. And then they just like to go sun themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, whenever I go to Chicago, well, this is funny because my aunt's cats love the suitcase. And they like to jump on the suitcase.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the suitcase.
You know? Yeah, they're very curious. They'll find their way into cabinets. They'll open the cabinets.
Yeah, Opal loves going
there.
Into the cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing in there.
Except the cat.
Yeah,
and there's still food
in the pots and pans.
Yeah. Do you ever hear like crash in the middle of the night?
I don't think so.
I think once I heard the trash can tip over.
Oh my goodness!
But that was about it. They're pretty. They don't knock over the big things. But one of the jokes in our house, Bill, is because when Rachel first met me, She found out very soon that I love dogs. Absolutely love dogs. I grew up with a dog, always had a dog in my house when I was growing up in New Jersey. And as I got to know Rachel and got to know her cat, it was the first time in my life that a cat actually liked me or wasn't kind of, you know, a little bit nasty or wanted to scratch me. Because all the cats in my life, that's all I remember, is they wanted to scratch you or they or hiss at you.
Negative feline experience.
Exactly. And so when I was living in Worcester, in my apartment in Worcester at the time, before we got married, I decided, you know what? I think I want a cat. I kept seeing cats in all the other windows of the apartment.
Feel like there's some revisionist history going on here.
Yeah.
I believe someone lovingly encouraged you to consider getting a cat so that you would have someone to come home to after your very long days working at Audio Journal.
That's true.
Right.
So long story short, I got a cat. I rescued Opal from the Worcester Animal Shelter.
The Worcester Animal Rescue League, folks who do wonderful work for the animals in the area.
Yes, and my friend Rodney works at the Animal Rescue League in. I think it's in.
It's on Brattle Street.
Yeah,
yeah, and so we went there to see
Millbury.
Right, that's right. So we went to see if we could get a cat.
Just to check them out to see if anything rang Harry's bell, I think.
Yeah, and we told them we were thinking of an older cat. And so we got there, and the woman who was in charge of cats.
Maeve,
that's right.
In case you're listening, Maeve, we still remember you.
And so before we got there, she put Opal in her room. Actually, Opal was living in her office. Because she couldn't get along with the other cats.
Right.
And she warned us, you know, other people have tried to connect with her, to look at her,
and Opal wasn't having any of it.
Yeah.
She was very nasty to everyone who came to look at her.
Right.
And then Harry came along.
And then I showed up, and Maeve was surprised. I was surprised. Rachel was surprised. But Opal took to me with such kindness.
Love at first sight, sweetness.
It was so Opal is.
I have photos of Opal gazing lovingly up at Harry on the day they met.
That's true. That's true. So, so the joke in our house is, you know, Harry's not a dog person. Harry's not a cat person.
Harry doesn't like cats.
But
oh yes, he does.
But
yes,
you can see me petting Opal all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have any? Do you have any recordings of Opal and you? And
no, I have photographs of Harry and Opal.
Yeah,
but we don't have any recordings.
Well, because on America's Funniest Videos, sometimes I've heard cats like talking or doing something funny, and my driver, my yellow cab driver, his name is Don, and he has a cat. And the cat loves to play fetch.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. So what my friend would do is he'll throw something, and then the cat would come and fetch it and bring it back to him.
Very cute.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny, yeah.
That's kind of unusual, I think, for a cat.
I told him, I says, Don, you ought to put it on America's Funniest Video. And he keeps saying, okay.
The cat could be famous.
Yeah. he could win $1 million.
never know.
But, well, what is your favorite TV show?
Ooh. Well, we recently watched the entire series of Downton Abbey. Which was nice. We enjoyed that. And now we are watching the entire series of Schitt's Creek, which we are really having fun with. I think Harry especially enjoys it. Both of those shows I had watched in real time as they were airing, you know, years ago, and one episode a week, and you have to wait for the new one and all of that. But now they're on streaming, and Harry's watching them for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's been fun for me to revisit them and also to watch Harry's responses to them.
Yeah. So.
And for those who enjoy wordplay and playing with the spelling of words, the name of the show is spelled S-C-H-I-T-T.
Apostrophe S.
Apostrophe S.
That's the name of the town, Schitt's Creek.
That's right.
Wow.
There is nothing profane happening.
Yeah.
That's right. That's all part of the comedy, because the show is written by the famous actor Eugene Levy and his son Daniel Levy. And Eugene Levy, I grew up with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
He started with Second City.
Mm-hmm, in Chicago.
Yeah, Second City. What was the name of it? Second City Comedy Troupe or something like
Second
that?
Second City Players, maybe?
Yes.
Or Second City Television,
yes.
I think. Yeah, in Chicago. And he started with John Candy and mm-hmm. some others. So
Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's
all
very
Canadian
funny.
Friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So those are the two shows we watched recently. What about you, Bill? Do you have a favorite TV show?
Well, my favorite TV shows I like to listen to are Family Feud with Steve Harvey. I love Steve Harvey. He is funny as anything. He says, "Hey, welcome to Family Feud, everybody. My name is Steve Harvey."
Yes, that's Steve, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see myself interviewing him for a talking topic show.
He'd have a lot to say.
That would be awesome. Wouldn't it, Harry?
I would.
Yeah.
Harry,
yeah.
You have to get Steve Harvey here.
I'm doing my best now.
Yeah. We,
What's the top 10 ways to get Steve Harvey on talking topics? Survey says.
List your 10 favorite reading radio stations, and if you don't say Audio Journal, you get an X.
That's
yep,
right.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break, and a final break, and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to Audio Journal Talking Topics. Welcome back to Talking Topics, and my name is Bill Ruggiero, along with Rachel Rosengard and Harry Duchesne. Well, Rachel, mm-hmm. what is your favorite sports?
My favorite sport is ice hockey. I grew up watching the Big Bad Bruins of the 1970s.
Oh, yeah, with Ray Bourque.
Even earlier than that, yep.
With Bobby Orr.
Rick Middleton and Bobby Orr.
I love Bobby Orr.
Everyone loves Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
And all four of my boys played hockey mm-hmm. through high school. They all still play today.
Yeah.
My youngest, his hockey team, Neshoba Regional High School, they won the state championship.
Oh, wow.
His
congratulations.
Freshman, well, this was his freshman year. So he's a senior now. So it was a few years ago. But yeah, I love watching hockey. Obviously my kids, but, college hockey, I find really, really wonderful.
Yeah.
But I will pretty much go to any hockey game.
Have you ever been to a Bruins game?
Of course.
Yeah.
I think I brought Harry to his first Boston Bruins game. Is that true?
You did.
Yeah. That was just almost exactly 3 years ago.
Wow.
Or 4 years ago.
Wow.
I've known you for a long time, Harry.
Yeah, I remember my first Bruins game. I went with Jennifer Daly, and she works for the Commission for the Blind, and we went. And we saw, I think the Tampa Bay Lightning play the Bruins.
I think that's who we saw too, Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, and you know what? Rachel gave me one of the best surprises on her birthday. She's actually given me several surprises on my mm-hmm. birthday, which, and, but one of them was, she knew that I went to Niagara University mm-hmm. up in Niagara Falls, and, either I
go
told
purple
her,
Eagles.
That's right. So either she found out about it or whatever, but she got tickets to Niagara University playing Holy Cross in hockey. And it was so cool, Bill, going up there. I think it's called the Heart Center up at Holy Cross where they play hockey.
I got us Niagara University sweatshirts.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Right.
And we did it two or three years in a row.
Yeah.
With our purple sweatshirts to cheer on the Purple Eagles, and we sat behind the Niagara bench.
Have you ever been to a Worcester Railers game?
Of course. Yeah. Almost every
year
we go.
They have the audio description now at the Worcester Railers game. And Jack Peacock, who I interviewed before.
That's right.
And, he does Worcester Railers and the Worcester Red Sox. They're going to be starting up pretty soon.
The Woosox. Yeah, we love going to the Woosox, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, Roger Clemens is going to be throwing out the first pitch of the Woosox game on Friday, and
that should be a good pitch.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
Are you going to be there, Bill?
No, but I want to. I want to go, but I don't know.
I bet we're all going to get to at least one Woosox game this year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And Bill, I have a question for you. I've never asked you this in one of our talking topic shows, but for any of our listeners who don't know anything about hockey, can you tell them about how the game is played?
Well, you have a goalie, right? And the goalie's supposed to stop the pucks from going into the net. And you have a net and you have a backboard and you play on ice and you have skates and you have a stick. And you have a puck that looks like an Alexa, and they hit it around the rink, and, you know, it goes, like, back and forth.
Right.
And if you listen on the radio, you can hear the sticks pounding on the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Every team has two defensive players in front of the goalie and a center and two forwards, a left wing and a right wing.
Yep.
So a total of 12 players on the ice at one time?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
So each team is a goalie and five players.
Mm-hmm.
And how many points does a team get if they put the puck in the net, Bill?
One.
So 1 point for every goal.
Yes. And then if you win a game, it's 2 points.
It might be 2 points in the standings. I think you get 2 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, 0 points for a loss.
Right.
And that's why hockey games are always, well, not always, but almost always low scoring events because no matter how good the goal is, you only get 1 point.
One thing I don't like, like in baseball, you get one point per run. One thing I don't like about hockey is I don't like the shootouts. Because
very stressful.
I remember one time, because I remember a few years ago that they didn't have the shootouts. They would go to each overtime. You know, let's say you play like 10 minutes and then have another overtime. And then if somebody doesn't win that, then just call it a tie.
Yeah, I think they try to avoid ties whenever possible. Mm-hmm. And they came out with the concept of the shootout because when you're playing hockey, when you're on the ice, you're at 100% effort 100% of the time. It's not like, for example, in baseball where you might be able to catch your breath for a moment or you're in the outfield and so you don't get a ton of action. And so overtimes are exhausting for the players, whether they're playing in high school or playing in the NHL. And they also, I think, again, like baseball, two very different sports, but they have a lot of similarities. They were trying to make the games not go for 3 hours at a time because they found it was just too much for the folks watching.
Right.
But yeah, I would, baseball's my second favorite sport for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You do.
I like the Woosox.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, it's exciting to watch. It's exciting to have the Woosox right here in Worcester, the second largest city of New England, which a lot of people don't know. But it's really cool to see professional baseball right here.
Yeah.
And professional hockey. Worcester is a great sports city.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
I don't need to go into Boston. and have it all right in my backyard.
Yep.
It's true.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And, well, do you guys have any questions for me?
I have lots of questions, but I'm going to let Rachel go first.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, one thing I know about you, Bill, is you have a good appetite. So I want to know, what are you planning for dinner tonight?
I don't know. Hey, no idea.
What would be your favorite dinner?
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
I love hot dogs.
What do you put on your hot dogs?
Ketchup.
That's it?
Yep.
Wow. Bun or no bun?
A bun.
Nice.
Now, Bill, last time I talked to you, or last time we were with a group of people, you said your favorite meal was none other than spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, I've seen I've seen you enjoy spaghetti and meatballs.
Well, I do enjoy spaghetti and meatballs. My second favorite is hot dogs. My third favorite is chicken.
He's a little fickle.
And I like that, you know?
Yeah.
Do you like trying new foods?
Yeah. I've had beans and corn and macaroni. Mm-hmm. I like that. And
what about raw oysters?
No, thank you.
Harry likes oysters.
So you've never tried them?
No, I never tried oysters.
You know what, Bill? Don't try them.
Why?
Well, they are. It's cold. It's not warm. First of all,
you have to cold. Yeah, you have to swallow it whole.
And they're slimy.
They're slimy. You have to eat them out of the shell. You pick up the shell and go. And slurp them out of the shell.
Yeah, it sounds kind of gross.
Harry likes it.
That doesn't sound appetizing to you, Bill.
No, it does not.
I've been told they taste like the ocean.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Is that true, Harry?
Yeah. You kind of, not that when you go swimming in the ocean, you deliberately drink ocean water, but you do, you know, you have that.
The brininess.
The brininess, the salt water kind of background in the taste. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't particularly care for oysters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, when's the last time you were at the ocean?
About 35 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
When I was a little kid. I never liked swimming in the ocean, but I always like sticking my feet in the water, just walking along the beach.
Me too.
Yeah, that's
yep.
That's really cool. I remember the other day we were playing. I was using the sound effects box here. I'm going to see if I can do that now. Here it is. Can
there
you hear
it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, the ocean. Yeah.
Walking on the beach at the ocean, I think, is my favorite thing to do in the whole world, mm-hmm. Especially when I'm with my best friend.
What if we could do someone walking on the beach?
Yeah. I make Harry take lots of ocean walks.
There it is.
I have my favorite activity, walking on the beach, and my favorite person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you have put your feet in the water.
Yeah.
For the ocean, but you've never put your whole body in.
Well, I did once. I did not like it because the waves, you know, it just...
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is kind of scary.
I remember being a little boy, you know, growing up in Jersey, of course, we would go to the Jersey Shore, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. At least once a year. And I do remember, I have a memory of when I got too close to the wave, that it was scary because it can knock you down.
Yes.
Yeah, it can be upsetting.
Yes, it could. Also, my friend Paul Perino lives at the Jersey, used to live in New Jersey, and he has family there. His brother lives there, and Paul's in my class, and I would like to give a shout out to my friend Paul Perino. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
So, can you tell us about some of the programs before we close out? Can you tell our listeners about some of the programs you do at Aspire? Because I don't think you've ever shared that before.
Well, I do programs like Money Skills and Community Group, and we do employment classes. We talk about different jobs and interviews that people have to do. And in case you're applying for a job, you have to write a resume and stuff like that. And, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
They help you learn a lot of practical skills.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
And Bill, if someone were to approach you and say, Bill, what would you like to do with the rest of your life? What would you like to do for a hobby or for work? What would you say?
Well, I would like to say I would love to do broadcasting more than anything in the world because, you know, Audio Journal will be a great place for me to start. And I would like to learn how to edit programs, put them on the air, and do things at Audio Journal. I like to work, you know, produce programs, and be like Ken Meyer, because I remember when I interviewed Ken, and Ken said that if you wanted to do something, go ahead and do it.
That's right.
That's right. And tell our listeners again who Ken Meyer was.
Ken Meyer was a former producer at WBZ Radio, used to work at WEEI, and he interviewed all kinds of people. So if you want to listen to that segment on Talking Topics, it's right on the website.
Yeah, and he was legally blind.
Yes, yes.
Yes, he was. And so our listeners know Bill is preparing to be an intern at Audio Journal.
That's correct.
And Bill, can you tell us the first step to being an intern here is you have to learn the environment. So what are you doing right now to learn about the space here at Audio Journal?
I have to learn how to get up here into the Audio Journal studios. I have to learn where the offices are. I have to learn how to get into the recording studios, find my microphone, sit down, and start recording.
Yeah, I watched you do all of that today.
Yeah, you still have some learning to do, but I have to say I've been impressed with when you're here with Miss Demetra Edwards, your mobility instructor.
Yeah.
You've been listening to her, you've been very respectful, and you've been working hard.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, tell us, you've known Audio Journal now for about 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. Can't believe I just said that. So you've known this place for a long time, but since you've been working with Miss Edwards, mm-hmm. with your mobility instruction,
yeah.
Tell our listeners some of the new things that you have experienced and you've learned about these offices just recently.
Well, I learned that these offices are tactile. They put like Velcro on the doors so that I can feel where I am.
Okay, tell me about the Velcro strip that's outside my office. What does that feel like?
It feels smooth.
Okay, is it long?
Yes.
Okay, and what about the one outside Lori's office? Is it kind of perforated?
Yes. Yes, it's kind of rough. And then the one outside my office, it's like a square thing.
That's right. But that's also Velcro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So you're learning how to recognize different rooms by Demetra put different tactile things outside
yes.
the doors.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. And what are some of the things in the office that you found out where they were recently? Like, for example, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you now know exactly where the water bubbler is, where the trash can is.
Yes, yes, I do.
What else have you learned?
And I know where the snacks are.
Uh-oh. Most important thing.
Oh, we're in trouble now.
Yeah.
Who knows where the snacks
are? I know.
The snack budget will increase exponentially.
I love granola bars.
Harry loves granola bars, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Bill, I've been very impressed with the fact, and you still have more to go. You still have to learn about some of the devices and where they are in here, but you're doing a good job. You know,
yes,
you'll be able to, when we get our new phone system installed here at Audio Journal, you'll learn how to navigate the phones, where they are. where the shredding machine is, where the copier is. And most importantly, when people come to visit, you'll be able to give them a tour.
Yes, I will.
Because you even know where the bathrooms are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better believe I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so before we close, Bill, just to wrap up that subject, if anyone else wants, you know, thinks, any of our listeners think, well, they, you know, they can't go out and they can't learn how to navigate a building or an office space, what advice will you have for them?
Well, I just want to say that you can. All you have to do is contact the Commission for the Blind and tell them you want mobility. And they will recommend Demetra Edwards to you, and I would guarantee it, because Demetra would show you, and she will teach you cane technique and different mobility skills and show you how to get into a building and explore things and prepare yourself for a job at Audio Journal.
That's right.
Wherever you want to go.
That's right. And my last question before we wrap up is, why did you want to talk to Rachel and I? Why did you want to talk to the executive director and his wife?
Excuse me.
Well, because
the library director and her husband. Thank you very much.
Library director.
Ladies, stand up for yourselves.
Listeners.
Always put yourself first in line. You are not the subject of any man.
Yeah, she's right.
Yeah.
She's this is what one of the reasons why I love you, dear.
Because I'm always right. Thank you.
Yes, you are always
no,
right.
No, it's because you have courage and you're not afraid to speak your
mind. Ladies first in
I
all
wanted
things.
To say to the I want to say the reason why I did this is because I wanted to put more sponsors out there for the library and for Audio Journal, and I just hope that people will come to Castaways and Coconuts, and that's going to be again at the
Holy Cross.
Holy Cross,
April 19th,
from 1 to 4.
That's right.
Be there or be square.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
And wait, before you go, you mentioned Jen Daly before.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a shout out to CJ Posk, who's not only on our board of directors, but a big supporter of Audio Journal. And CJ shared her two front row tickets for the show Stomp at the Hanover Theater. And Rachel and I were able to sit in the front row. I was able to sit up with the love of my life, with my best friend, Rachel, and enjoyed the show Stomp.
It was fabulous.
Wow.
And we had these extra tickets because the love of my life bought two tickets for that show for us up in the balcony. And we were able to give those tickets to Jen Daly and her daughter. And it was just so wonderful to see Jen enjoy a show with her daughter, who's also autistic, but she loves noise and loud sounds. And and they just had so much fun.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out to Jen, too, and Skyler and JWLB and Sean, too, and her husband, Sean.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to jump in here on the Love Fest. And Bill, thank you so very much for inviting me here today.
Yes.
And for wanting to spend some time together.
Yes.
This has been wonderful.
Yes, it is wonderful.
So thank you.
Yep. And good luck at the library.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Well, this has been Talking Topics. And I want to thank Harry Duchesne and Rachel Rosengard for coming to our show today. And, well, Talking Topics is provided by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind, the Mass Commission for the Blind, and underwritten by Unibank. If you have any questions about our programs, please give us a call at 508-797-1117 or visit us on our website at www.audiojournal.org. Well, this has been Bill and JL. Till next time, talk to you later. Bye.
This is Bird Note, and here's a sound that might jar you awake one of these spring mornings. Members of the Woodpecker Percussion Band often choose early morning hours to wail away on metal roofs or gutters. Woodpeckers announce their territory and attract mates by pounding on hollow surfaces with their bills. The drum may be a stovepipe, a trash can, or even a car hood, or a hollow tree. That's the sound of a northern flicker, a brownish woodpecker, larger than a robin, smaller than a crow, with a black crescent bib and spotted belly, and shafts of color on its wings that flicker when it flies. Drilling holes in tree trunks calls for some specialized tools, and the northern flicker has them. Big claws, for example, with two toes pointing forward and two backward, and a stiff tail to provide a third point of contact with the tree. If it sounds like a steel band has moved in, try to be patient. As spring moves along, the woodpecker will find a mate and lose interest in hammering on your house. The birds will settle into a hollow tree to produce more woodpeckers. Learn more on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is Ode to a Nightingale by John Keats. My heart aches, and a drowsy numbness pains my sense as though of hemlock I had drunk, or emptied some dull opiate to the drains 1 minute past, and Lethe Ward's had sunk. 'Tis not through envy of thy happy lot, but being too happy in thine happiness, that thou, light-winged dryad of the trees, in some melodious plot of beeches green and shadows numberless, singest of summer in full-throated ease. Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cooled a long age in the deep-delved earth, tasting of flora and the country green, dance, and Provençal song and sunburnt mirth. Oh, for a beaker full of the warm south, full of the true, the blushful hippocrene, with beaded bubbles winking at the brim and purple-stained mouth, that I might drink and leave the world unseen, and with thee fade away into the forest dim. Fade far away, dissolve and quite forget, what thou among the leaves hast never known, the weariness, the fever, and the fret, here where men sit and hear each other groan, where palsy shakes a few sad last grey hairs, where youth grows pale and spectre thin and dies, where but to think is to be full of sorrow and leaden-eyed despairs, where beauty cannot keep her lustrous eyes, or new love pine at them beyond tomorrow. Away, away, for I will fly to thee, not charioted by Bacchus and his pards, but on the viewless wings of Poesy, though the dull brain perplexes and retards, already with thee. Tender is the night, and haply the queen moon is on her throne, clustered around by all her starry fays, but here there is no light, save what from heaven is with the breezes blown, through verdurous glooms and winding mossy ways. I cannot see what flowers are at my feet, nor what soft incense hangs upon the boughs, but in embalmed darkness guess each sweet wherewith the seasonable month endows the grass, the thicket, and the fruit tree wild, white hawthorn and the pastoral eglantine, fast-fading violets covered up in leaves, and mid May's eldest child, the coming musk-rose full of dewy wine, the murmurous haunt of flies on summer eaves. Darkling I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death, called him soft names in many a mused rhyme, to take into the air my quiet breath. Now more than ever seems it rich to die, to cease upon the midnight with no pain, while thou art pouring forth thy soul abroad in such an ecstasy, still wouldst thou sing, and I have ears in vain. To thy high requiem become a sod. Thou wast not born for death, immortal bird. No hungry generations tread thee down. The voice I hear this passing night was heard in ancient days by emperor and clown. Perhaps the self-same song that found a path through the sad heart of Ruth, when, sick for home, she stood in tears amid the alien corn. The same that oft-times hath charmed magic casements opening on the foam of perilous seas in fairy lands forlorn. Forlorn. The very word is like a bell to toll me back from thee to my soul self. Adieu. The fancy cannot cheat so well as she is famed to do, deceiving elf. Adieu. Adieu. Thy plaintive anthem fades past the near meadows, over the still stream, up the hillside, and now it is buried deep in the next valley glades. Was it a vision, or a waking dream? Fled is that music. Do I wake or sleep? You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Read by me, Nikki Wichelow. Thanks for listening.
And now, Medical Myths and Facts with Dr. Richard Curtis.
One of the biggest challenges in caring for older adults is medication safety. As people age, they often accumulate prescriptions, sometimes 10 or more at once. While each drug may have been useful at one point, the combination can increase risks such as falls, confusion, bleeding, or hospitalizations. Doctors call this polypharmacy. It's a leading cause of preventable harm in seniors. New digital tools are now helping us understand this problem. One example is MedSafer, an application designed to identify medications that may no longer be appropriate or may interact in harmful ways. It works by analyzing a patient's medication list against evidence-based guidelines and clinical trial data. For instance, it can flag drugs that raise fall risk, duplicate therapies, or medications that provide little benefit in advanced age. What's especially important is that these tools don't just generate a stop list. They give clinicians clear, personalized recommendations, such as safer alternatives, tapering strategies, and explanations that can be shared with patients and families. This makes the process collaborative rather than abrupt. Early studies of MedSafer have shown encouraging results. In hospital and nursing home settings, its use has helped doctors deprescribe unnecessary medications more confidently, with a focus on improving quality of life and reducing adverse drug events. For seniors, this often means fewer side effects, clearer thinking, and a lower risk of emergency room visits. Of course, these tools don't replace the human judgment of doctors and pharmacists. Instead, they act as a safety net, supporting better decisions, keeping care consistent, and making sure that what worked 10 years ago isn't still being prescribed when it's no longer safe. In short, applications like MedSafer represent a step forward in personalized, safer prescribing for older adults. By combining technology with clinical wisdom, we can help seniors stay healthier, more independent, and less burdened by risky medications.